There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, you got John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atatula. We got Byron Matthews filling in for our guy, Figgy Fig, who is out sick on his birthday.
Okay.
Texans obviously get a 23-20 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Very good one to get. It's a huge victory. Best one of the season at the very least. Mm-hmm. Top two, three of the D'Amico Ryan's era.
Yeah.
As well. So a huge victory. Battling through some adversity. When you talk about Azeez Al-Shaair being sick. When you talk about missing various players, including Nico Collins after only nine plays when he leaves this game. Like, yeah, you managed to no Titus Howard, who you know basically really got the designation on late in the process, but maybe you knew on Friday, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
That Blake Fisher would have to play. But either way, like, they managed to take all of that, get out to a pretty good start, allow it to get a little close, but then they ultimately got a victory. Kyme Fairbairn knocks down a 59-yard field goal at the end.
Well, as I mentioned to you, the way to look at this game is as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay. As a whole, you couldn't ask for a lot more. But if you want a nitpick.
Let's do it. And that's what we do, man. On a victory Monday, we try to be as positive as we can be. However, we leave a little room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can't forget in victory.
You got to nitpick because you know they are.
Very true.
They're watching film today.
That is, I mean, you know, and you'll hear from the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans, as well, and I'm sure he'll give you some of that as well. However, let's nitpick, and I would like to begin. This is not nearly the most important thing, but this was a thing that kind of annoyed me during the course of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy to see Robert Woods do well returning the ball. In fact, at one point, one of my notes was, thanks for stopping by to boost Steven Sims. Like, that does feel like, hey, dog, you have lost your place. I mean, he was a healthy scratch in this one,
mm-hmm.
and Robert Woods proved that he's more capable of doing what Steven Sims does. And the tough part about it is maybe you go, okay, but he's still a depth piece, right? Yeah, other dudes that can return the football. Robert Woods, all I need you to do, take one little quick look around and see, where are you?
Am I on the 3-yard line?
Because if you're on the 3-yard line, let it go.
Yeah.
Like, this is even better. You get the playoff. That ball is going to bounce at the end zone. Let it go.
Most punters are really, really good now. If you're at the 10-yard line, even the 8 or 9, I would catch it because they're so good at the backspin and putting it in places. But the 3, you're inside the 5, you got to let it go. That's a good nitpick. Now, to his credit, when they needed it most and the Bills were punting out of the end zone, he caught that son of a gun and went straight upfield. He wasn't fancy. He just tried to do what he needed to do, and that was get as many yards as possible so we can maybe set ourselves up for a game-winning field goal,
which is
what happened.
He knew the situation. He was like, look, man, we don't have that much time. I can't be running back. That's
nothing
the thing
fancy.
I hate. I hate seeing a return man running back and forth because he needs to make this, you know, break this play, and you wasted 15 seconds on the clock. Don't do that.
Yeah. No.
And he didn't.
Yeah. I got a little nitpick here while we're talking about punting. Also redeeming himself at the end was Tommy Townsend. And, you know, obviously that led, you know, directly to them getting the game-winning field goal as well because Sean McDermott was a knucklehead and threw the ball 3 times out of the end zone. But Tommy Townsend has not given you the return you thought you would get. He is, and I mentioned this earlier, I know it's something of a iffy sort of stat for some people because a lot of factors come in, but he's 26th in the NFL in punting yardage.
As you mentioned this, it made me think, what are the advanced punting stats? Are there advanced punting stats?
Is there an EPA?
You know what?
Yeah, you're about to find out.
Doing Googles.
But look, Tommy Townsend also set up 2 of the Bills' scores. He has not been what you thought he would be. And I was very high on him, you know, because he obviously has won a couple Super Bowls in Kansas City, done a good job. But yeah, the ROI is not there with Tommy Townsend right now.
Okay.
Overall.
The only thing that I have as a potential rebuttal is I'm still looking up punting EPA. Don't wait. Tomorrow I'm going to be a punting analytics genius.
You're going to have
it. Surprised. Yeah. I'm going to be shocked and appalled, in fact. But only thing I can point to, and Kyemi Fairbairn mentioned this in his media availability also, is just how, you know, the guys around him prepare him for these things. And one of those things was, you know, the Tommy Townsend and his, like his championship experience, funny as it's, you know, he's been on those Kansas City Chiefs teams that won some Super Bowls. And so I don't know how you evaluate championship experience generally, but especially when it comes to a specialist and how that filters in. But that's the only thing that I can maybe point to is like, hey, making sure the execution is all good from that perspective. But you can't deny the fact that based off of a kind of the raw you know, averages of this when it comes to punting, you're not flipping the field quite the same way that you want to.
Not even close.
Some other nitpicks that can come into, which is, oh my goodness, why? And well, I think tomorrow we might do this. Just a full Bobby Slowick run game intervention. Why in the hell are you running so much into loaded boxes? Like, one of the things that I find to be very weird over the first 5 weeks of this season for the Texans, right? When they run the football, sometimes they like doing it. And I understand it's probably because Slowick likes getting the wide receivers involved. Like, it is an 11 man or maybe, you know, 10 man, you know, blocking concept situation where everybody go get somebody when it comes to these zone runs or whatever. But when you have the wide receivers tight and when you have tight ends tight, and we saw this, what was this, last week, 2 weeks ago, where you have Blake Fisher coming in as an additional player in the jumbo package and you have him tight, all you're doing is bringing more dudes in here to tackle. And when you already know that you don't have an incredible offensive line and, you know, I guess cavalcade, I don't know what the right word is, group of guys blocking-wise, that's not helping. Like, it seems so counterintuitive where you probably would be better spreading this out, especially with the weapons that you have on the outside, and then creating space and letting someone like Cam Akers, even Darray, J.J. Taylor, we saw those guys do that pretty well late in the game last week when you had some spread and some opportunities, some areas to run the football. But no, you still see them, even especially on that 4th-and-1, you saw them get really big, and I was like, there's no way they do this. They're not good at this. And boom, there you go, Darray running into a brick wall. What are we doing?
It's one of the things that has always just confused me, especially down at the goal line. Everybody's packed in, both tight ends and a receiver tight and a fullback and all that, and they're just packing everything in there. You can get away with that when you have some maulers, you know, on the offensive line and maybe a fullback that de-cleats people, but you got tight ends at fullbacks, you got an interior offensive line that, you know, certainly has some questions here and there. No, I am totally with you on that. This ties in as well. While we're on the interior, I'm a little bit, I don't know if worried is the right word, but somewhat concerned about the interior run defense. The interior defensive tackles have been quite the revelation this year. Like, they've been really good, especially pressuring the quarterback, getting some sacks when even the ends aren't getting them. But they do get pushed around. You know, the big jumbo package that Buffalo had yesterday, it moved the line of scrimmage. Now, they had a good – we talked about how great this defense was, and it was. But in those instances, they get moved. So, you know, it kind of complements what you're talking about offensively. Defensively, they get moved around. Now, maybe it's going to get a lot better, a lot quicker because of Autry coming back. But that's something that is a little bit of a nitpick that I think could hurt them.
Some more nitpicks. I think also just – it's obvious, man. The penalties – first half, I was amazed. Like, it was a breath of fresh air. Wait, it is the Bills who have penalties that is hurting their drives. Wow, this is incredible. In fact, I think I said this specifically to some folks in the press box. Like, yo, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the third quarter hit, and then you had a grip of them, right? Yeah. And some of them were a little ticky tacky. Mm-hmm. At least one of them probably you need to do better, Dalton Schultz, in that instance.
Yeah.
But like, still, guys, like, do you know how much different this game looks if that third quarter is not like that? Mm-hmm. Like, you played well enough to win pretty handily in this game if you do not, again, have the Texans being the Texans. And we've talked a lot about it. And, of course, it is limited to the nitpick in this particular week because I think that is right, but, you know, when it comes to the magnitude of it. But still, that was a little frustrating to have those nerves creep up again just because – you've done this so much and you had done so well in the first half. To have all that pop back up was unfortunate.
It's a perfect thing to nitpick because overall, if you asked me, hey, did they get better when it comes to penalties? The answer is yes. They got better, especially because the penalties that hurt them the most were the, you know, pre-snap, the mental, you know, obvious mental errors.
Incremental progress. Yeah,
but these penalties were more like in the course of the play and course of the game, and for the most part. So yeah, they got better, but we're nitpicking here. And you kind of let them back into the game in the third quarter with six penalties in one quarter. That's not hard to do the math on how that would play out over the course of an entire game. One other one here, and I don't know, I really haven't mentioned this to you too much because the protection was generally okay to pretty good for C.J. Stroud, but it just, he got beat up. He was sore today. C.J. Stroud was limping on one play after one play, shook it off, played the rest of the way. He got probably hit harder than he has all year on one quarterback, on one throw where he got just absolutely nailed. And I don't know. I mean, is there anything other than just having a completely clean pocket on every snap that you can do? It's just like he got hit a lot, even though the protection was generally better.
Yeah, the protection was better, although I mentioned one of those penalties. Shaq is.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to have like a real conversation about Shaq in like a long-term future context because.
Yeah.
Ooh. But yeah, like. He does such a good job navigating the pocket and all those things. But, yeah, you really would hope and wish that he was not getting so much of that particular, mm-hmm. not just pressure, but then also that contact.
Getting
hit, physicality.
Yeah.
But I think also that kind of led to CJ showing in a game where he was not his best by any means, showing how composed he is because his like scrambling, his feet in this game were immaculate, were incredible. During the course of this, at least from my perspective, do you agree?
I do. Do you realize he's the third leading passer in the NFL today?
I don't. I don't think about it enough.
Yeah, I happen to look it up because you know we kind of like over nitpick his game, you know, because we're like, well, as you made me think about it, because you said it wasn't his, you know, necessarily his best game,
mm-hmm.
and yet he was awesome, you know, early on and made some incredible throws. But overall, I don't disagree with you. Then I looked at the stats. I think he's third in the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe we nitpick that a little. Maybe we're just spoiled.
We might be.
You know?
We might be. And again, I think some of that is just because we know that they could be we could be incredible with this team. But yeah, you know what? I'll need to take a step back mm-hmm. and make sure I'm not being too harsh on CJ. And some of this also is you go after the game, you listen to post game, and CJ himself is also like, you know, making sure that he's really good about this. In fact, Can I get D'Amico Ryans here? This is D'Amico Ryans 10. And as you look for that, I do want to mention this because I'll circle back around to it. We talked a little bit about it, but that's a lot of Dare, isn't it?
Yeah, that was going to be my next one. So we're on the same wavelength there. It's really not even a nitpick. I think it's going to be something that we're going to visit about a lot this week. I think Bobby Slowick on, is it Thursday?
Bobby will talk on.
We'll
Bobby
talk about it. He'll be asked about it. What is? Hopefully, this point is moot, and it's going to be Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce and Cam Akers and everybody's healthy. Dari, all that. But what does Cam Akers have to do to get more carries? Like it was obvious, you know, to your eye. It's obvious on the stat sheet that he was the better running back. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that Dari didn't do his job, you know, receiving and all that, or even had some nice carries. But Cam Akers was the better running back. By any metric.
I thought that they would split a little bit more. I never in my imagination had imagined that the you know, workload would lean further and that far towards mm-hmm. Dare, who had 15 carries to Cam Akers.
15 carries for Dare.
I never would have imagined that. And I say that as someone who is Nigerian brethren. I'm all for Dare, and I was impressed with how he toted the rock last week. Obviously, that is all on the curve of the Texans' run game. But yeah, even sometimes you can watch a game and you know it feels right, and then you look at the box score and you're like, oh, that's weird. It doesn't feel like that. No, it felt like
it felt like he had 15 carries and 30 yards, which is a 2.0 average.
Yeah.
And in what world does he have, you know, six more carries than Cam Akers? Well, I guess this world, because Cam Akers had 9 carries and a 4.7 yard average. Yeah. What does he have to do?
Some other things that people mentioned, nitpicking D'Amico's play calling in the last 2 minutes. Well, I mean, I think Bobby will also step up there as well. Mm-hmm. And then the penalty that took him out of field goal range. That they mentioned it was intentional grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a miscommunication, it seemed like, between Schultz and CJ. I wonder if that was an option route of some sorts or whatever. But yeah, that was it felt a little punitive from the officials, but also it was one of those where it's just a bad one.
I got one more. It's kind of the anti nitpick. I think a lot of people might be pointing to the first half. Texans were up 14-0.
Oh yes, when you don't get a touch, you should have gotten another touchdown.
4th-and-1.
Yeah.
And who'd they run?
That was Dare. Yeah.
I actually did not mind the call at all. Well, you know, go ahead and put your foot on their throat. I think I mentioned it to you as it was happening.
Yeah, I like the fourth down going for it.
I like going for it there. You know, punch it in. Go up 21. Get to 21. But Dare.
Well, and for me, because I mentioned early, it wasn't as much about Dare in that instance. For me, it was more, yo, why are you doing this in a loaded box? Why are you? Why is everybody
fair.
In tight?
Yeah.
You have the possibility, especially with the speed that you have, of spreading this out and, you know, making the Bills think about all the possibilities, even if you're ultimately going to run the football.
Yeah.
And I think that they kind of gave away their hand a little bit in that way. So there you go. Some of our Victory Monday nitpicks here in the Loop Sports Radio 610 after an admittedly important, very good 23-20 victory over the Buffalo Bills, right? You don't have to be perfect. You just got to win. I told Sean, man, I think I'm sold in and bought in rather on the kind of incremental approach to this. Because the first few weeks I've been like, look, this, if you're playing like this, you're not going to win against great teams. If you're playing like this, you're not going to win against great teams. And I listened to D'Amico one more time. I was like, hey, if you're getting better and you're getting wins, I can be okay with that. And I think that that's what's given me a lot of happiness and peace on this Victory Monday. But coming up next, it's about 120. It is 120. And this is about when we hand it off to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape.
What are we going
to
do?
I guess we'll figure that out. Figure it out with us next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The best football breakdown is here on Sports Radio 610. The day after every game, join Payne and Pendergast in the Loop and the Drive on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. Game analysis, inside info, and your reaction starting at 6 a.m. on Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610. Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
All right, so it's Figgy's Mixtape. However, Figgy ain't here on the day.
Taylor's version.
Okay. Figgy Fig has the day off.
Reggie's version. OG's version.
Yeah, we're going to try and do our best. Yeah. We are not Figgy. We appreciate Fig hanging out, you know, getting right, getting himself together as he called in sick on his birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so
we will revisit.
Make sure to hit Figgy up on social media if you have him.
Just say we're all pulling for you.
That's right.
Yeah,
you can wish him a happy birthday, but definitely want to wish him well. Make sure he's good. So myself and Lopez are going to do our best to fill out the mixtape. All right, Lopez, do you want first crack or should I take first crack?
I don't care. Call it. Make the call, man.
See, it's all right. We're already starting off terrible. Already terrible.
Do the scratchy sound thing. I'll start. I love that.
Spam that.
The only reason I wanted to do the mixtape Taylor's version is because of that scratchy sound. So the McRib,
oh God,
is back, baby. It is
this
back.
This is where we're starting.
This is where we're starting.
Get Figgy healthy.
No, but there's a list that involved, and okay. Figgy likes to do these lists.
He does like to do these.
If you didn't see it, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I mentioned it to you off air, and I don't disagree. You kind of like verbally shrugged.
Mm-hmm.
You went, because it's not good. but it's the McRib. It's like Taco Bell is not Mexican food, but it's Taco Bell. Like, I'm a barbecue, you know, snob, basically. And I'm certainly
enthusiast,
yeah. Lover, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I eat the McRib whenever it's around. So it's just, it's a weird fast food
item. So you actually
I'll eat them. I mean, I don't go out of my way.
They're getting you with the marketing.
I don't go to McDonald's other than for breakfast, you know, coffee or something.
I don't like being manipulated. I don't like being knowingly being manipulated. And that's what McDonald's is doing with the McRib.
100%.
Right? They're like
100%.
This is a thing that if they had on the menu all the time, mm-hmm. nobody would like.
It would die, which it did originally.
But they're like, "Hey, what if we make it seasonal?"
It's marketing, man.
And we're just like, "It's only available for a limited time. Get it now, otherwise it's gone."
Yeah.
And people are like, "Oh my god, I have to get it." It's like, "No, you don't."
You are 100% right.
It's fine. Just
but
let it be.
The New York Post came up with a list. And this is where the mixtape comes in. See, I was working, Figgy.
What a nasty drive-by that is.
No, I'm giving him a compliment.
I was working, unlike some people.
No, I meant like he does. I was on his wavelength. I was on his wavelength because he likes to do these things. So the McRib is back. New York Post did a story. Fast food items that you wish would make a comeback.
Ooh.
Number 5 might be number 1 for me.
Okay.
On their list. Wendy's Super Bar.
I don't even know what that is.
Remember the Wendy's little?
I do not.
You don't remember that?
No.
They used to have like a little buffet that had like obviously salad stuff on one buffet, and then they had like pasta and chili, and you could just order the Super Bar at Wendy's.
Did not realize that Wendy's did that.
It was awesome.
When was this? Was this the
80s? Yeah, probably as did early as the 2000s.
Did it dip into 2000s?
Early 2000s. Like it died not too long ago. I guess it was too cost prohibitive or whatever. The Wendy's Super Bar would be my number 1. But number 4 on their list.
Yeah, the commercial I'm seeing looked like a 1988, man.
Oh, no, it was definitely old. But I think it hung around until the early 2000s. Number 4 is KFC Potato Wedges. Those were pretty sweet. Those were pretty damn good.
I feel like I'm going to be a fast food snob here, so okay.
That's right. Well, that's fine.
They don't have those no more?
Apparently not.
Really?
I thought they were always there.
Are they back again
now?
I
have no clue. I just assumed that they were always there.
Well, I assumed number 3 was always there, and apparently it's not. The Brooklyn-style pizza at Domino's?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Number 2 just recently came back as well. So it's kind of, you know, it's in the McRib vein, and that's the Chipotle Carne Asada.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, which was a big time thing, and then it went away for a while.
Man, what I'm realizing is that I guess I do not eat as much fast food as I thought.
I know I don't. I'll go for breakfast a lot.
Well, I guess I don't have as much of a variety in my fast food eating.
Yeah.
This is what's happening here.
And then number 1 was McRib.
Gross. Okay, yeah. We have somebody expertly chiming in on the YouTube that there are no... Oh, that's Andy. What's that, Andy? No potato wedges.
How about that? Okay. I liked them. They had that little semi-spicy salt on it.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah,
they did. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that contribution to the mixtape. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to do audio contributions here. And shout out to the text line from the 832 who said, yeah, Fig is getting right. Licking buffalo wing sauce off his fingers, which actually ties in perfectly because a friend of mine, Amanda Guerra, she works CBS Sports.
Okay.
And she was out at San Diego State's college football game this past weekend. And she got a chance to talk to the one and only Guy Fieri.
That's a big get.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a monster.
I didn't realize that he was a big San Diego State guy, but there he was at that game. And she asked him the most important question, the one that you know, really divides up the country and really creates a lot of infighting. Are boneless wings actually wings?
Are boneless wings actually wings?
If you have time to bone out a wing, that's a whole nother world. But no, there's no such, that's a chicken tender nugget something. There's no such thing as a boneless wing. The reason we love wings is because of the fat, because of the skin, and because of all that flavor that comes out of the bone. No, wings are wings. No, wings are wings. You can't half-ass the wing. Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That is official. I don't know if he's the ultimate arbiter of all these things,
mm-hmm.
but... I think that was fairly defended. He also gave you kind of the science behind it,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, the fat and all that. But my thing is, it's a nugget.
Yeah.
It's a nugget. That's all it is. And it's not even probably the meat probably isn't even from a wing.
I'm sure it's like a chicken breast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
it's
that.
Not even from or whatever it's from. But it's not even a wing. So shout out to her, too, because I've heard that Fieri can be kind of hard to snag an interview just because of his time. Not because he's an a-hole or anything.
He might be. You don't know.
He might be. But mostly because dude does everything.
He does.
You can't turn on the TV without seeing Guy Fieri. Big UNLV fan, too.
He
must live there in San Diego or in that area, but I think he went to UNLV and always a big contributor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
So you were tailgating like a champ this weekend.
I wouldn't say I was tailgating like a champ. I was just, you know, doing what I can.
Yeah.
You know, just stacking tailgates, mm-hmm. you know, one tailgate at a time, and eventually you're going to have a good week.
What was the name of the tailgate that won?
It was a Gridiron Grillers tailgate, GGT.
Okay, Gridiron Grillers. I came across this list as and it's only three items, but open for suggestions for others regarding tailgating in the NFL. The smallest things that make a big difference if you're hosting a tailgate.
Ooh, okay.
Another list. How about that? See, I'm trying to channel Figgy here.
We're just trying a replacement. You know, replacement
I'm not going to Wally Pip him. That's for dang sure.
No, replacement level.
Yeah, replacement
Figgy's
level.
Figgy's got a war at like 7.
I'm a scrub. I mean?
But we're just trying to be replacement level until Fig gets back, hopefully tomorrow. I don't know. He's day to day.
Yeah. I'm a scrub.
Save that, by the way. I want that.
All three of these things are awesome to have, and I think we've experienced them when we've been out tailgating. These tailgates set themselves apart. Number three is a quiet generator.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Honda or the electric generators that you recharge and all that stuff.
I would
Those loud generators, it's like, what? You know, and they're real big and heavy, so it takes up all this room on your truck or your trailer or however you're getting in there. They said the small, quiet generators are the biggest game changers in a tailgate.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would never even think about as somebody who has not had to actually put together a tailgate myself.
Gotta have a generator.
But when you're hanging around, well, I understand that, but I have not thought about the noise level of the generator mm-hmm. when I'm around, and that means that all the tailgates... Yeah, all the tailgates we've been going to have been champs about that.
Yeah, but you get the little electric one. Those are awesome. They've just been around a couple of years. You charge them up, and they're good for like 10, 12 hours, and they're like no noise.
So it's just the battery? It's a big old battery?
It's a big battery pack that's a generator. And then the Hondas are real quiet and all that.
Cool.
Number two, I think we saw this a couple of weeks ago. A hand washing station.
Yes.
They had like a roll of towels on a little whatever stick, you know, roller thing, and they had like a hand washing station. That's key.
That's such a nice, it really is, it has been the details mm-hmm. that I've been impressed with, right? Obviously, great food, that'll get you over, you know, good vibes, that'll get you over, but details is where it really, like, steps up. You mentioned there was a group of folks they put together, like, a bungee cord mm-hmm. and had
that's what it was,
yeah. Yeah, it was a bungee cord or, like, having napkin, or not even napkins, having, like, a hand washing station, mm-hmm. you know, nice trash bin, all those types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, there's real, it really is the details that impress at least me.
And then this one was awesome. And I hadn't even thought of this, and I tailgate a lot. And that is a couple of portable phone chargers.
Oh.
Because people are always taking pictures, playing music, you know, playing videos, taking videos and all that. Like, oh, crap, I got to go inside and my phone only has 5% or whatever. Like, you've seen those little power. Actually,
we got
some from the Rockets the other day.
Yes, we did.
Portable.
Shout out to the Rockets.
A little portable phone
charger. We're playing
charge.
Tonight at 7. Yeah. Join me in my preseason basketball sicko week. Anyways. I bring to you more audio
mm-hmm.
in the mixtape here. It's the Figgy's mixtape, although Figgy is not here here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. And this audio is of somebody being a jerk. And, you know, I feel like we kind of love it. Although you tell me if you love it or not. So this is Max Crosby, who he likes being kind of a jerk a little bit. He's on the perfect team for that because that is the spirit of the Raiders, then Oakland, now Las Vegas. And they were playing against the Denver Broncos, and Bo Nix, rookie quarterback, was trying to change a play at the line. It was third down. They needed to pick this up, and so he's changing the play at the line. And see if you could spot Max Crosby trying to maybe assist Bo Nix in his fixing of the play. So if you can't understand what's happening there, that's Max Crosby saying, Bo, I need more bleeping bass in your voice. Bo, speak up. They don't bleep and know. So he's heckling Bo Nix as he's putting in the change of the
clip. He's trying to help him.
He's like, hey, man, you got to speak up. They can't hear you right now. Which is hilarious because, like, you know he's not trying to help him. But also it's hilarious because Bo Nix did start speaking louder. Like, when Max starts yelling at him, he's like, oh, I probably should speak up, shouldn't I?
I think it's also because Max Crosby knows exactly what he's trying to say. And he's like, you're not fooling me. That's what I got out of it. Like, you know, like, hey, speak up. They don't know. I do, but they don't. They can't hear you. They don't know. Because that happens. A lot of the greats, you know, they know every, you know, every call, every adjustment, all that stuff. Yeah, I think he's trolling him as much as anything.
Well, I mean, he was in that moment, he was right. The Broncos didn't pick up that first down. They had to punt. However, the Broncos did win 34-18 in that game, in part because Patrick Surtain had a 100-yard touchdown interception or interception touchdown.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's tough. But, yeah, good on you, Max Crosby, for making me laugh.
A lot of people remember the Super Bar. It was,
oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
There's a lot of people that are rock with you on the Super Bar there. Mm-hmm. I still have no idea, but I'm generally pro buffet.
Wendy's was awesome.
A lot of people thought the buffet was going to die after 2020 with all of the airborne particles, all of the attention to that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still good on the, hey, let's bring the buffet back, or at least make it more prominent again.
Yes, I think so.
And that is ultimately the takeaway of this edition of the Figgy's Mixtape. You can catch it 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here in the loop, especially when Figgy is actually at work.
We'll let him judge us tomorrow.
Oh, should we just play it back for him?
He'll see. He'll hear it.
Okay, very good. But yeah, you're in the loop. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Byron Matthews sitting in for Figgy Fig. Appreciate you for doing that. All right. Coming up next, we'll get ready to hand off to the drive. But before we do that, do you believe that this, or are you comfortable with the idea of this team, this Texas team, closing games? 713-572-4610. That's right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula. You got John Lopez and Byron Matthews hanging out with us in the stead of Figgy Fig, who is day-to-day. He's out today. Not doing... You, did you just... All right. Okay.
What?
All right. If you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, you guys see that. Other than that, I'm not entertaining your tomfoolery no more. We appreciate you hanging out with us on a victory reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610, as your Texans got a 23-20 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll be handing it off to our guys, Clint and Ron of The Drive. But before we get there, how confident do you feel about this team closing out games? Because I've been pondering this recently, just kind of like, you know, closing games out. How does this team look? And then another one score game in the course of this one, and they are 11-3 in those. So many of them, in fact, 14 in that instance. When it comes to
say that number again,
11-3.
Think about that.
In one-score games in the D'Amico Ryans era. So there's a lot of these, but this is another one of those. It did not have to be so close, but they ultimately needed to get it done. But in order to do that, they had a situation where they were trying to get themselves in field goal range to take the lead, or to extend their lead, rather. They have a penalty, although I think we all agree that we probably thought that was a little ticky-tacky, the penalty that was called, and they get themselves out of field goal range. They have to punt. They go and they get a stop, but then they get the ball back and have to go drive a little bit, kick a field goal to win the game. Kaimi Fairbairn, 59 yards in particular. Did this game affect your feeling of how they close games, and how confident are you in their ability to close games, especially when they're tight?
I'm telling you, beyond the stat, I think this is an easy answer.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. We all know, and like many cliches, it becomes a cliche because it's true. Like, closing out a game in the NFL, just look at yesterday. Ask the Cincinnati Bengals about closing out a game.
Yeah.
Ask the Pittsburgh Steelers about closing out a game.
Yeah.
Ask the, what was the other one? Ask the Jaguars, I mean, ask the Colts about closing out a game. Like, that is the difference, in, you know, week in, week out, much less in the postseason. And what you have to have more than anything else is a quarterback that can shrug off, whether it's a bad moment or a bad game, or in the case of C.J. Stroud yesterday, three bad moments, an interception, a fumble, and an intentional grounding, shook it off. You have to have that. You have to have a head coach, as you just pointed out, 11-3. There's something there. You know, there's something there. It's not a coincidence that they're 11-3. To me, this is about as easy an answer as we will get. I know a lot of people, it's sort of a polarizing thing. Oh, they don't close out games because maybe they lost one or two, you know, that was bitter to
three.
Take.
11-3.
Well, one or two or three.
I mean,
one or two.
I read the stats.
So one or two or three.
There you go. Very good.
Maybe they should have won. But no, I mean, this is, ask the 49ers yesterday about closing out a game. Those like the Bengals game was, and the Steelers were the two most bitter, if you're one of those fans, because they had the game-winning kick slip through the palms of their hands, literally, in terms of the Bengals. The Steelers had completely bamboozled the Cowboys' offense and got to a fourth down and a kind of a desperate throw into the front corner of the end zone that they couldn't defend. It's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. And to be 11-3 and to have the quarterback and have the coach and make the plays yesterday, just to illustrate one more time here, like, you're giving away the game, not giving away, but you're going to lose the game, you know, if things continue to go the way they are. Then you punt the ball to Sean McDermott. Ask Bills fans about closing out a game.
Yeah, and I think that's where you may have some of the concern, I imagine, is that, hey, you were kind of gifted that in some ways by his brain fart in a way of not realizing that, hey, you could run out the clock and, or at least run it down quite a bit and give yourself an opportunity to go to overtime and play in that situation. The reason why I would say that I have a level of confidence in this team closing out games is because of the defense and the ways that
too.
They have shown time and time again that they believe strongly in that D'Amico Ryans, give us one blade of grass to stand on, and they do that. And we saw that in this game as well, and kind of fueled by the fantastic play by Azeez Al-Shaair through adversity, right? Through his sickness that he was dealing with, or at least his not feeling his best after the sickness that he's dealing with. They really did, time and time again, show up in big moments. But the tough part about this was, like, you had some play calls offensively that did not feel like they were the smartest. We talked about one at length when it came to fourth and one opportunity to really extend the lead early on in the first half, where you're, you know, running into a loaded box. But then other instances where it feels like, hey, you run the football here, even though understood that you have not been as efficient running the football, you're dropping back to pass. In some of these instances where you need to make sure you keep the clock running.
Yeah.
And I know that those things pop up, and I know Bobby Slowick ends up being in the crosshairs of, are you closing the game out? Where are you depending on individual brilliance to get you to those places? Mm-hmm. But all that being said, I want to lean on this man, D'Amico Ryans, head coach of this team. He was asked yesterday, what allows this team to consistently win these close games?
Today, it was just really cool to see our guys make the plays we needed to make in situational football. Like, we stepped up and made the plays at that particular time there at the end of half, being able to get points, just coming out in the game, like the way we ended it, just as a football team. Like, Tommy getting a big punt for us, pinning them there at the two, defense standing up, making, you know, three big stops. And then Rob with his return to get us at midfield. I mean, CJ to Dart, it was just everybody working together, and that was a big goal for us this week, is just to help the team. How can you help the team, like, win the game? And our guys were clutch in the critical moments.
Yeah, that situational playmaking is the thing that gives me a level of solace in this. But there's some questions that I have at times where, depending on who you face off against, is it going to be right in the right moments? And I am concerned that you had to get to that place in this game because of the way that you played towards the end there. But the fact that you have the defense that, when you need it the most, because the defense wasn't perfect in this game, as you highlighted. I talked about the fact that the Bills came out in those jumbo packages and they ran the football. You mentioned the idea of the interior run defense. Those things are there. But when the moment was necessary, you've got Foley, you've got him shedding a block and getting to where he needs to get to. You've got them standing up. You've got Azeez, you know, just crashing and torpedoing in the run fits, right? You've got those. You've got Stingley batting down a pass. You've got those types of plays. And then on top of that, special teams-wise, you've got, even though two punts that you haven't gotten to the right place, then you get the right punt. 59-yard field goal. What do we call that, right?
Yeah.
Because you have enough guys, and then CJ, of course, is Mr. Johnny on the spot with all of those escaping and finding a way, even in that final play that you got to give yourself that 59-yarder as opposed to a slightly longer one by dumping it off to Dare. You have guys that make the right plays in the right moments that really makes up for some of the other things that could, in fact, be better decision-wise on this team.
And I think DeMeco is selling himself short or being modest or whatever there, too, because a lot of those things that you mentioned and other things is absolutely coaching from him, from the staff, whether it's Frank Ross or Matt Burke or whomever, Gerard, you know, with quarterback play down the stretch. Because keep in mind, like, Sean McDermott was awful with time management. Once they gave up the ball, the Texans could not have been better from the time they punted, because Robert Woods had some bad moments. He caught that ball and knew, I am going straight ahead.
Yes.
That's coaching. Like, and it's instinct as well. He's a veteran player, but I'm saying that's something that you've worked on, you know.
At the very least, we could say it's awareness, whether it's his personal awareness or he was being made aware by you know, Frank Ross and other coaches that, hey, we only have so much time. Get as many yards as you can, but don't take too much time, because we need them.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's that. That got you in the mix for a game-winning field goal. And then, you know, C.J. Stroud gets, you know, getting rid of the ball, moving it up just enough to set that up. And then Kaimi does what he does. So as much as McDermott in those final few seconds could not have looked worse, you know, closing out a game is every bit the star quarterback and the coaching and the head coach and how you built it. No, to me, that's an easy answer. They're not going to close them all out. I mean, they've not closed out three.
That's correct.
11-3. But they're going to score games. I'm going to be very confident in that. And go back to last week, the one blade of grass thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was slipping away badly.
I do wonder, because I don't remember exactly where we're talking about this now, because, you know, talking to various Texas fans, how much of this is just kind of the Texans fans are dealing with a little bit of and I don't try to use this lightly, but it's the only word that comes to mind, like a little PTSD, man. Texas fans feel like they're all waiting for the shoe to drop in various situations, and I wonder if, like, even in late game situations, you're still in that place where you're like, hey, are they going to get this done? Are they going to get this over the line? But it feels like you have built yourself a team, especially for me on the defensive side, that when it comes down to those big moments and closing out those games or those big moments, that they'll show up when you need them.
Yeah, and it's a confidence level that really, you know, only the very good teams have. That, okay, rather than, like, most of us are like, oh my gosh, how's my team going to blow it this time? You know,
yeah,
you're in a place with that quarterback and the coach and the coaching that they've gotten, where you're now like, I think they've got this. I think they're going to pull this out. That's a big, big difference. We're talking about closing out games and how these last 2 weeks have shown as much as anything when it comes to CJ and DeMeco and everything else that this team has gotten done.
Yeah, look, I think they're really well coached, and it comes out in the biggest moments that a lot of folks tighten up, and a lot of folks, you know, a lot of coaching staffs, I think, are grasping for straws and grasping for answers. I think that the one thing that really, since they've gotten here, it seems like these guys are ridiculously prepared. Cool, calm, and collected in the moment, really committed to what it is they do, and especially on the defensive side of the football. You know, there's so many down the stretch, and even really throughout the whole game, there's you know, as a unit they played well, but there's so many individuals that made big plays. I mean, the pass rush that caused the errant throw by Will Anderson when they had him backed up right there before the punt. I mean, that was huge. That guy was wide open.
Yeah.
That's not just a first down. That's he may have gotten in field goal. I know he would have gotten midfield damn near.
Mm-hmm.
And Will single-handedly just manhandled that tackle back into Josh Allen. And then you look at, I don't know if it was before that, or I think it was right before that, the Kamari Lassiter play where it was offensive pass interference. That they declined on first down. Yeah. Actually, they declined that. I mean, there's the over the middle Azeez Al-Shaair, you know, on the tight end with no deep help. It was covered too, no deep help. I mean, there's probably four or five defensive plays that were just unbelievable individual efforts that changed the game.
Man, I'm so excited to hear you talk about it. I'm excited, and I'm even more excited to see my man Ron. What's happening, brother? How you living?
What's good, man? Big week for the Texans. Get to 4-1, finding ways.
Absolutely. You confident in them closing out games as well?
I think it's not an accident. It's 2 years now, right? Like, I mean, they found themselves
11-3 in one score game,
coming out in wins. Like, there's something to a, because I do, some of it is fluky.
Yeah.
But there is something to a confidence of, yeah, like, we know somehow we're going to figure it out.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.